Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast brought into the whole world a light that shineth in the hearts of men. And we turn away from our own troubles and from our own inward distress and our feeling of suffering and pain, and oftentimes from the fever of our own reaction to the things of this world. We turn to Thee to see a light shining and to feel Thy hand upon us and to hear Thee calling to us, come. And our Father, we pray Thee as we study that Thou wilt, by Thy Holy Spirit, open our hearts that we may understand, show us the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may grow in Him. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. And so we have come in our study in the book of Matthew to the last section of the last chapter. The book of Matthew has given to us, in Matthew's account, the story of Jesus, born King of the Jews. And as we've gone through this book, we have seen in three action-packed years the witness that had been given by Jesus of Nazareth. A small company of believers had become disciples. Out of these, 12 men had been chosen as apostles. And all the time, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of the will of God had been presented. Until finally, the hour came for God's great act for our redemption. And Jesus Christ was sent to the cross. The sacrifice was offered that our sins might be carried away. Jesus had died and had been buried. And then we read that He had risen from the dead on the third day, as He said. And now, in the last part of the 28th chapter of Matthew, we have a very simple ending to the whole story. In chapter 28, beginning at verse 11, we read, "Now when they were going," that is, the disciples were going over to Galilee where He had told them to go, "behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, His disciples came by night and stole Him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money, did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." This record also is included. It's the record of the futility of the attempt of any man to disparage the record of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They made a definite effort to try and claim that it didn't take place, and they were unsuccessful. Let us never forget that those people were living in the city of Jerusalem, Jews and Romans. They were not sentimental people. If I use the expression hard-boiled, you'll understand what I mean. They were realistic people. They were not the kind of people that could be influenced by imagination and just by emotion. Now, there were people there who definitely wanted it to be understood that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was not to be believed. But it was believed, as you know. The whole early church certainly believed it. And may I say this to you, if there had been any doubt, any ground at all, don't you think that whole society and that whole city would have found it out? When these people already were alerted to the possibilities of it and did everything they could to disparage the report and to discredit the statement of the apostles that they had seen Him, in spite of that, the early church grew on the confidence and the conviction that the Jesus Christ who was raised from the dead and who ascended into heaven is now at the right hand of God, the living Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who will come again to this world and will judge this world in the will of God. Now, those things they verily believed. And we see here in this section the futile tactics of those who would discredit the report of the resurrection. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I am disturbed again and again by the fact that we have people in our day and time who actually want to be counted among the Christians. They'd be hurt if you didn't count them among the Christians. They're actually getting to the place where they can doubt the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you were to say who these people are, you'll notice in verse 15, this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Well, I would like to suggest to you that while we do have Jews with us to this day, that actually this term can cover a much broader number than just those who profess to be Jews. Who were the Jews in that day and time? They were people that were acquainted with the teaching of the Old Testament, and people said they believed in God. They believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, these were men who believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they had the Old Testament in their hands. But they did not believe the story of the resurrection. So if I, in my day and time, come across people who claim to be Christian, they may even be members of my own denomination. They certainly are members of the Protestant Church, we'll say, in our day and time. And they step up and give you a long story to indicate to you and suggest to you that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ didn't take place. Put them right back here. And just remember that this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. In other words, there always have been people who doubted the facts of the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his coming again. There always have been people who have doubted those facts. The big thing for you and for me is that we don't make that mistake. So let us read on now. In verses 16 and 17, then the 11 disciples, and you'll notice the 11 is spelled out here, you see, there had been 12, but Judas is gone. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Isn't that interesting and isn't it strange? Even with the evidence before them, some doubted. And mind you, I don't think this means doubt in any good sense. I think this means doubt in an unbelieving sense, that they didn't believe it to be true. They just couldn't credit it, and so they just didn't believe it. The post-resurrection, after the resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ, did not convince them all. Now, if we were studying in the Gospel of Luke, you would find a very careful description of the various things that the Lord Jesus did to prove that he was really alive. All of the Gospels will give you some evidence of the fact that the Lord Jesus did certain things after his resurrection to show people he really was alive, because that's so hard to believe. But even in spite of everything he did, some didn't believe it. So don't be surprised if today when you present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and there are some people can't believe it, well, it was the same back there. That doesn't change it at all. Really and truly, doesn't change it at all. If that grave was empty, it was empty. And if that body ascended into heaven, it ascended into heaven just exactly like it reads. Whether you believe it or whether you don't, that's another thing. It makes a difference to me. It makes a difference to you whether I believe or whether I don't believe. Doesn't make a difference to the facts. And now we come in the last three verses to really one of the most famous scriptures of all. We have here in the last three verses in the Gospel of Matthew, we have what is commonly called the Great Commission. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Now notice all that you have here. Beginning in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, go ye therefore. The therefore, I think, bears back on that all power. In other words, they need power as they would go, and you'll remember in the book of Acts they were told to wait in Jerusalem till they received power from on high. But they did receive it, and he did give it, and he has all power, and he sends us out therefore, teach all nations. Now that could very well be translated disciple all nations. It really means make disciples out of them. You see, the word disciple means a learner. Now the word apostle is a sent one. He's a servant. He's a missionary. But the word disciple is a learner. Someone who is enrolled to learn in school is the disciple. And when it says here, teach all nations, It's saying, make disciples of all nations. This does not mean that all nations will believe. This does not mean that everybody will be saved. But it does mean that everybody should be taught. Everybody should be shown. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This baptizing will, of course, be extended to those who respond. The teaching will be given to everybody. And then the baptizing will be for those who respond. And the baptizing will be in the name of, that's with all the promises of, with everything that it means about, the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Urging them, you see, to respond to the things which the Lord Jesus has set forth. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, this word world does not specially mean this globe that you're on, this earth. Remember, it's world. And it means unto the end of this time that we're living in. I think it could mean, so far as you and I are concerned, to the end of my whole time in this world. I think that's true. I am with you even unto the end of the age. So far as I'm concerned, the age will end when I die here. And lo, I am with you always. This promise is given to the people who go. Now, I can remember when I was studying this one time with my father-in-law, he laid emphasis on the fact that this promise is for the people who go. Lo, I am with you always. He asked me to very seriously question whether there was any promise the Lord Jesus would be with me if I stayed. I was to go and he would be with me. Now, this does not mean geographically that you have to go to Africa or you have to go to some foreign country. This means you need to respond and you need to obey. And just as surely as you and I will respond and obey to the living Lord, he will show us the things of God and bless us, our God and Heavenly Father. Help us in this to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in him and to obey him. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.